Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. Some of y'all might know Romans 8:28, which is a very good scripture, but I love this wording of it. And it says, God promises to make something good out of the storms that bring devastation to your life. And I think that means whenever you're down, whenever you're in the deepest, darkest times of your life, when you're like, Lord, how does this get better? God always has a plan. He has a plan to make that turn out into a good thing. Know that when you're in a deep part of your life, when you're in a bad part of your life, God is right there holding your hand, leading through it, to lead you to something better. So know that whenever you're down, just pray, and He will make it better. He will make that horrible moment, horrible thing, turn into one of the best things. Because that's what He does. He's God. He loves us. So, with that, let's have a great service. God bless. Thank y'all.
Good morning and welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning in May. And we are getting to the middle of the year already. Summer is here. So God is good. Winter and summer and springtime and fall, all seasons, God's faithfulness is unchanging. And also it relates to our seasons in life. As we go through youth and middle age and old age, and we all have seasons in life also. His faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you for joining us here and also online. And God has given us one more day to live in this world, which is a gift from God. Let us be thankful for that. Turn with me to the announcements in the second page. Those are our regular announcements. You can go through that quickly. Our food bank ministry continues to help the people in need in our community. And also the books also will help the mission work. The third Thursday luncheon will be on June 19th. All are welcome to the Cracker Barrel incoming.
Golden Corral.
Oh, it's open?
Yeah.
So you guys are keeping track of that.
Yeah.
That's good. So we'll change it to
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral? Okay. I'll get the address on the internet. Okay. I'll change it. And my wife and I will be traveling to India, as you all know, on the 29th of May, the last week of May. Hopefully, all these problems will be settled by that time. Please pray for that. They want to go see my mom. So please pray for our travel. Be scheduled to be back on June 12th. Maybe may extend a couple of days, depending on what we do there. And thank you for Pastor Tim and Jenny joining us and covering for this time. It was a blessing and it continues to be a blessing. God put us together in this ministry, and I believe that. And I wanted to share you with my credentials are back that we lost with the United Methodist Church. And so I got the certificate last week. And I'm so happy that AIM has worked through it and they went through all the process. And there's a formal function at the AIM annual conference in Alabama from June 19th to the 21st. So there's going to be a formal ordination on the 21st at 10 o'clock. So if whoever can join, I'll give you the details weeks ahead of that when I come back, so we can plan on going, whoever wants to go. It's only like 3 or 4 hours drive from here. And I believe you're also working on your credentials.
I've been talking to
you. Yeah. So we'll work through that. That's a great joy to have that. And it doesn't do a lot of things as far as ministry is concerned, but when it comes to state regulations like funerals and weddings, that matters sometimes. So that is what it is. Thank you for your continued and faithful support for this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver, and we thank you for all the gifts that you share with this church. and we accept our donations online. You can use our online web to do the donation payments as much as you can with all the options that we have. And I'm glad that Jean came back. I thought she was going to stay back there in the beach. She was online last Sunday and she texted me and said, two Sundays missing is too many. I'm coming. I am coming back. That was good. Thank you for coming back and thank you. And you had a good time there, both of you? Okay, that's very good. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody else have any other announcements? Alan back too. No? If not, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love Thou art. Visiting us with Thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, Thy loving Spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in Thee inherit, let us find that second rest. Take away our blame to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Suddenly return and never, never more Thy temples be. Thee we would be always blessing, serving as Thy hosts above. Pray and praise Thee without ceasing, glory in Thy perfect love. Thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us be. Let us see Thy great salvation, perfectly restored in Thee. Change from glory into glory, till in Him we take our place. Till we cast our lost in wonder, love and grace.
Please be seated.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, those words that we just sang included this phrase, breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we make that our prayer this morning, that you would breathe your life, your vitality into our hearts this morning afresh. Lord, help us to know that you are with us in the power of your Spirit. And may that Spirit come to us afresh and reveal Christ to us today, Lord, that we may surrender to him more fully and follow him more closely. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you would take a moment to greet each other.
This morning, Lou, I think.
Nick was the only one who knew it, so hopefully some of you out there, like Linda and Jean, know it from a long time ago.
Yeah, it's an old song.
Please stand and join us as we sing.
Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Psalm 25, 1 through 10.
Stand up.
Please stand if you are able. It's on page 757.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed in treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all the day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of steadfast love, for they have not been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord, therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way, and leads the humble in the right way, and teaches them their way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who seek the Lord's covenant and testify.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time now, we will raise our prayers of praises together and give thanks to God. And also we will share our prayers of concerns and burdens and lift them up to the throne of grace of God as a people united in faith. God's promise is that when we lift up our needs to God in faith, He will answer our prayers according to His will and His time. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. Our regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin in those boxes listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items listed there. Thomas John, Sean, Amy Conway, Wayne, and the earthquake victims of Southeast Asia. And also there was a storm that came through in Kentucky last night. So please pray for those who are affected by that storm. And also the others that we regularly pray for, Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clemens, Jerry Raines. Pray for healing. And also pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks and delivery people, many, many others who serve us on a daily basis behind the scenes. Let us pray for them. Be thankful for their services. And pray for their families also. Let us pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things. Also pray for world leaders as they make decisions that they will fear God and to bring peace to this world. And let us pray for our church, that God has given us this opportunity in this community to be faithful, to serve Him, to the people who are in need, so that we can do it faithfully. Let us pray for all the churches in this community and the pastors and all the workers are working in various parts of the world in many different ways. So let us lift them up in our prayers. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to share. Anybody have any special call-outs? Any special prayer requests for any? If not, we will go to God in prayer. We will spend a few moments in silent prayer and then I'll close with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you, knock and the door will be opened. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children, bringing our prayers of praises with full of thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given us in this world, and we know that none of us came into this world of our choice, But it was your choice that you gave a life for us in this world, not to live for ourselves, but also to live for others, and also to share your love and care and compassion to the community around us, Lord. We thank you for the gift of family. Thank you for the gift of friends and fellowship and church, and all the blessings that you give us every day. Above all, we thank you for the gift of eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, suffered and died for us, and rose from the dead, so that we have eternal life with you after our life in this world. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord, and the manifold blessings you shower upon us, even when we don't deserve them. We also bring our concerns and burdens to you, O God. We come before you with our brokenness. Many of us are broken in our bodies, and we need healing, Lord. As we lifted up those who need a healing, we especially thank you for the healing that you have continuing to give unto Thomas John and Sean and Amy Conway and Wayne and all those people who are affected by the earthquake victims. We pray for your grace and mercies upon them. We pray for Jean McPrayer and Grace and Harry and Carol, Jerry Rains, all that we have been praying for your continued mercies and healing hand to touch them. We pray for Lou also, as she is also progressing with her healing. Continue to bless us together, Lord, as we look to you, the great physician, for our healing of our bodies. We trust in your power, Lord, and we also pray for those who are struggling in various different ways, in the hospitals and nursing homes and many facilities. We pray for your grace and mercies upon them and healing hand to touch them, O God. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives and peace for their families during these difficult times. We pray for all of those who are struggling and grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for your comforting peace to give them in their hearts, the peace that passeth all understanding, and your comforting presence to be with them, O God. We thank you for all of our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis. Have mercy upon them, O God, and bless them with your grace and peace every day, and pray for their families. We pray for our nation, our country, our leaders of the country, president and governors, and many others who rule and make decisions and laws. We pray that you will give them the wisdom to do the right things and that is good for the people, so that we can have a united states, united in peace and love and care and compassion to each other. We pray for the world leaders also, God, that they will also fear God and they make decisions that will end all the wars and bring peace to this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for this opportunity you have given us here to do your witness in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunity that you have given us to do. Pray for all the churches around us. Pray for all the pastors and ministers and many, many workers who work in your vineyard around the world. We pray for your grace upon them. Especially in difficult parts of the world, there is opposition in preaching the gospel there. We pray for your grace upon them also. Strengthen with the Holy Spirit. We pray for all of those who are in need in this community. Help us, Lord, to be caring for those who are in need and reach out to them. Bless us today, Lord, as we worship together, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Bless your servant, Pastor Owens, to bring your message through him, that we will be blessed by the power of your word, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you wherever you place us, Lord. Thank you again for your presence in our midst. Touch each and every one of us according to our need as we go from this place, that we will be more faithful in the work that you have given us to do. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for all the gifts that you give us. And we pray that our portion of what you give us that we give back, that can be used to further your kingdom and help those in need. And we thank you for everyone who's able to give today, and we pray for those who are not able to give today, and just be with us all. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If we can remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches in his glorious inheritance is in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning again. I am so thankful for yet another opportunity to share the word of God with you as Pastor gets prepared to go on his trip. And again, I appreciate your patience in having me come and share the word of God with you. I want to direct your attention to the bulletin just for a moment. This is not usually the way I ever introduce a sermon, but I want to call your attention to the title of this sermon, because I think it helps to summarize one of the main ideas that Paul is getting across to the church at Ephesus today. If you look at the title of the sermon in the bulletin, it says that we are going to talk today about the power that is above the powers. And if you look very closely at this text from the Apostle Paul, that is what he is identifying. Now, there's a lot in this text, more than we could ever talk about in one sermon today. But I want to really focus our attention on this idea of God's power. If you noticed in verse 19, as Lisa read the text, Paul is telling us that the power that raised Christ up from the region of the dead and exalted him to sit him at the Father's right hand, that power, that resurrection power, is actually available to those of us who trust in Christ. And that is an amazing claim that Paul makes, isn't it? I mean, do you find that claim a little overwhelming, a little daunting? I do. As a preacher of God's Word, I find that to be more than a mouthful, that Paul says that the power that raised up Jesus is actually the same power that is available to us. But I want to take the Word of God seriously today. I want to make my claim upon that promise, because I don't know about you, but I know this about me. I need His power. And what I want to do today is look at this text. I want to look at three aspects of God's power, that resurrection power that is made available to us. But before I do that, I want to do something very important. I want us to think about the nature of God's power before we try to appropriate that power for ourselves. I think it's very important that we think about what is the nature of God's power. Because if you look at this text, you will clearly see that there are two types of power that Paul is mentioning here. You know, the real thrust of what Paul is saying in verse 19 and 20 is that there is a power that has raised Christ above every rule and every authority and every dominion and every power that there is. So there is, think with me about this now, there is a power that is above the powers. So if we want to understand what this highest power is, the power of God, I want us to begin by contrasting it with this other type of power. The power that is a worldly power that Paul says Christ is exalted above. You know, I think most of us, just as humans, as fallen people, we understand something of the nature of human power, don't we? I mean, if we look at the world around us, if we look at the people that we know, if we look at societies and cultures and kingdoms of the earth, we have all seen a lot and probably all experienced a lot of the human hunger for power. A power that controls, a power that manipulates, a power that gets its own way. Paul wants us to understand that the power of God that is above that power is completely different from that kind of power. So I want to begin just by drawing a few contrasts between God's power and the earthly powers, or the powers of darkness. And it's very important that we take a moment to do this, dear ones, because sometimes the church can get caught up in trying to have and wield the kind of power that the world has. And that is not the kind of power that we have been called to. Let me draw a few contrasts here, if I may, between God's power and worldly power, or the powers of darkness. To begin with, and I'm just going to go through these very quickly, and then we're going to focus on what Paul says about the extent of God's power and how it comes to us. But first of all, hear these points very clearly. Worldly power is based in strength that comes from human capacities, or we might say it another way, the power of the flesh, or the powers of darkness. Worldly power is based in human or dark strength. Now hear this. God's power is only received in weakness. That's an absolute contrast. Would you agree with me?
Amen.
You see, a lot of times in the Christian life, we have this misconception. I suffered under this misconception for many years, that being a faithful follower of Christ was about me being able to somehow generate power to follow Jesus. The kind of power that Paul is offering to us today is not human power. And it is power that can only be received in weakness as we admit our need. It's a very important contrast between human power, worldly power, and the powers of darkness, and the power that is above all power. Worldly power, at some level, is fundamentally based upon control, whereas God's power, experienced in His people, is based upon surrender. God's power does not, and this is very important, This may be a word of encouragement to someone this morning. God's power does not equate to the absence of pain or difficulty or suffering. In fact, God's power transcends suffering and often shows up best in the midst of suffering. Now, why is that important? We're reading these words this morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Do you remember where Paul wrote this letter from? Do you remember the historical background?
Prison.
From prison. Yeah, he wrote this. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul identifies himself as a servant in chains. And at the very end, he prays that he would be given power to bear witness to the gospel because he is an ambassador in bonds. Now, Paul was probably, when he wrote this letter, think of this. This is absolutely vital to understanding the kind of power that Paul is talking about. Paul is probably chained to one of the Roman Praetorian Guards. The Praetorian Guard was the elite group of Roman guards. They were like the special forces for the Roman Empire, if you will. And think that Paul is writing this letter to the church, chained to a Roman guard, and he dares talk about a power that is above all powers. Isn't that amazing? You see, if you look at the situation that Paul is in on the surface, does it look like Paul has any power? It does not. But indeed he does. He has the kind of power that transcends suffering. That can actually, as I mentioned before, show the very nature of God sometimes at its brightest in the midst of dark places. That's the kind of power that we're invited to today. I need that power, don't you? The final contrast. God's power, worldly power, is something that is achieved or either transmitted by the forces of darkness. But God's power is accessed and received. In fact, it is only received by faith. It is not won or merited by human strength or willpower. It is only received by dependence and trust. That's the kind of power that Paul speaks of today. Now, if we understand the nature of that power, that it is unlike any worldly powers, it is above all the powers of darkness, then let us turn our attention to three aspects of that power that Paul gives us in this letter. I'll be fairly brief on the first, but it's very important. If you look back in this text to verse 19, Paul says something that I absolutely love. He says that he is praying for the Ephesian believers that they would understand a power that is, in verse 19, given to us who believe. Or in other words, it is a power that is for us, or as some of the older translations say, it is a power that is toward us. Now you can tell by the color of my hair that I've been around for a while. And I'm like many of you, I grew up on the old King James Bible, the little Methodist church that I was raised in. The preacher always, most of the time, preached out of the old King James. I love the way the King James words this. That translation puts it this way, that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church that they would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. To usward. That the power of God is towards you this morning. Isn't that an amazing truth?
Amen.
That is a truth that is absolutely saturated in grace. That God's power is towards you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is not withheld from you. It is not inaccessible to you if you will come to God admitting your weakness and your brokenness and your need and your trust in Him. The power that raised Christ from the dead is actually towards you. It is coming towards you today if you will receive it. You see, our natural inclinations are so against that. That, you know, if we're going to exhibit the power of God, then we must do something to strengthen ourselves. We must pull ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps, if you will. But that is not the nature of God's power. It is usward. the God who has raised Christ to the highest levels of spiritual authority stoops low this morning. He stoops very low to empower us to live in His way. It is only as we come in faith and in weakness that we can receive that power. But that power is extended to us this morning. You believe that? Would you dare to believe that? Listen, I am preaching to myself this morning probably more than I'm preaching to anybody in this congregation or anybody that is online. I want to dare to believe this morning that the power of God is toward me, in my need, through my trust, through my absolute dependence upon who God is. Let me share with you another thing that Paul said about this kind of power. You don't need to turn here if you have your Bibles, but I want to read to you a passage, I'm sure you're very familiar with it, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you recall, this is the portion of Scripture where Paul is speaking of his thorn in the flesh. We don't know many theories about what that thorn is. We don't know for certain what it was, but we do know this. It brought suffering into the life of Paul. And listen to what Paul says here in this text about the power of God. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power,'" this is the same word, "'my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." So we, you know, there's part of that theology, you know, that much of American Christianity does not like. Because what Paul says is not only can he receive God's power while he has the thorn, Paul is actually saying that the thorn that he bears is actually the vehicle for receiving God's power. Because it is only in that place of suffering that Paul recognizes the extremity of his need and how desperate he is for God's power. Paul would tell us that we can only know his power when we are in touch with our own weakness. Because when we are weak, then we are strong. Isaiah 40:29 says this of God: "He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, He increases strength." So this morning, do you feel weak? Do you feel powerless? The power of God is towards you. And if you are weak this morning, you find yourself in a place where you can receive the power of God through faith and through dependence. Paul says it is a power that is toward us. Secondly, he says it is a power that is above. Not only a power that is toward, it is a power that is above. It is above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It is above every name or every title that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Here, Paul is declaring to all creation, to every principality, to every power of darkness, that Jesus is Lord. That all the powers that are have been placed under His authority and His power. Now listen, that does not mean that everything has been surrendered to His Lordship, but it means that everything has been put under His power. All entities that that are in rebellion are under the authority of Christ. Now, that does not mean, again, that his authority has been fully executed. I don't think I need to tell anybody that lesson. Listen, I did not watch the news last night, but I can promise you this. If you watched the news last night, you know that all the powers that are in rebellion to God have not yet been subjected to that authority. But that authority has already been given to Christ. He has been raised above every power, every darkness, every dominion, and all worldly and dark powers. He indeed is Lord. The resurrection and the exaltation of Jesus to the right hand of the Father is proof of that. And now he sits on the Father's right hand until his enemies will be made his footstool. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things that are put under him. In other words, I don't need to tell you this, but I feel obligated to remind you of this truth. The battle is not over yet, but we know the end of the war. He has not put an end to the powers yet, but he has been raised over them. His reign is currently being contested by the powers that are in rebellion to him, but we know because of the resurrection who the victor is. Does that make sense to you? Does that give you comfort and strength to endure, knowing what the outcome will be?
Yes.
Do you ever fight against the forces of darkness? There's one. There's two. There's two of us. Well, let me tell you, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I know the powers of darkness. I know the reality of the darkness that's still in my flesh. I have seen the work of the powers in this world. I have seen the work of the powers that are against God in my own life when I was rebellious against Christ. I have seen the dark work of the powers in people in my family. I have seen the work of the powers in people that I love. But I stand here today, my feet firmly planted in hope, because I know the one who is above the powers.
Amen.
Who will eventually put those powers in their place. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yes. I don't know if you do this in this church, but I was raised Sunday after Sunday saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. There's going to be a day when Christ's rule and reign will be fully manifested, and all the powers that are in rebellion will be defeated. Because of the resurrection and the exaltation, we know who the victor is. The victor is the one who rose from the grave. The victor is the one who offers us his power today. Finally, and I'll be brief here, but this is very important. Not only does Paul speak of the power that is toward us, he speaks of the power that is above all things. He speaks of a power that fills his church, that is available to his church. Look at verse 22 where Paul says, "And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." I need to be brief here, but pick up the pace with me here just for a minute. Because what Paul is telling us here is something that we need to hear today. We need to hear this as the church. We need to be reminded that our head is Christ, that He is our authority and He is our source of power. And the word head there that's used, that Paul uses, is used in the New Testament in two different ways. It's used as the one who has the right to rule, the one who has ultimate authority, that person is the head. That's who Jesus is to the church. Jesus is the only one that has the rightful place to rule over His people, over His church. But furthermore, that word head, and I love this in the context of what Paul says. In the Greek language of the New Testament, one who was the head is the source. It's the origin. So what Paul is saying here is not only that Christ is the ultimate authority for the church, but Christ is the origin and the source of all life and all power. How we need to be reminded of that today in the 21st century American church, that the power that is imparted to the church is a power that comes from the head. He is the head, we are the body. He is the source, we are the recipients.
Yes.
He is the life, we are the receptacles. And we are only the receptacles. And we are only the recipients. And we are only the channel. Because the source of power and life to the church comes from Christ alone. He is the head, He is the origin, He is the source. I need to hear that this morning as a preacher of the gospel. And you need to hear that this morning as one who is tasked with living out the gospel. That our authority and our power comes from Christ. Our life comes from Him. Okay, two points. And we'll close. Okay? Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Pastor Luke. But listen, this is really important. This whole idea of headship, origin, source. Let me give you an illustration of how this is used sometime in English. And perhaps it will help to sort of draw a picture of what this means. When I was a young boy, I was very fortunate to grow up, and Mark can attest to this, we're from the same community, same grammar school, same high school. It was a rural community. Y'all can relate to this, right?
Amen.
I think the rural aspect of commerce is being crowded out with a suburban aspect, just like my hometown has been. But I grew up, it was still in the country. We had not a fancy home or anything, but we had a home on 25 acres. My dad raised cows, and we had a farm and pasture, and we didn't have any chickens. We had pigs and cows. I don't know why we didn't have chickens. Maybe that's why I love chickens so much to this day. We didn't have it growing up, but we had a lot of sausage and beef. And on that little farm, we had this tiny little pond. You couldn't really call it a lake. It was just a pond. I mean, it was, you know, maybe two or three times the size of this sanctuary. That's a small pond. You could walk around it and fish around it every day. And, multiple times a day. So a small, tiny little pond, probably only about 8 feet deep. And there was one summer where the pond just receded just a little bit. It was just a very dry summer, very unusual, and I noticed the first time that I ever noticed that pond, I never thought about this as a kid, that pond was fed by an underground spring. So there wasn't a creek or a river that flowed into that pond. It was an underground stream, and you couldn't see it. The only time I ever saw it was during that drought. So there was never a visible expression of the water that was flowing into that tiny little pond. But year after year and decade after decade, that living water flowed into that pond, even though it was unseen and unheard and unnoticed. And even though that pond was small, tiny by comparisons to most lakes, that little pond was teeming with life. It was full of brim and bass, and some of the best days of my life as a young kid was fishing down there at that pond and catching fish, and there were bulrushes around the side, and dragonflies would be lighting on those reeds, and fish would be jumping, and the pond was teeming with life. It was a small pond, but it was full of life. I wish to God, this is an unusual analogy, but sometimes I wish to God that our smaller churches could see ourselves as a small pond, but full of life. Because the head, in the olden days, they used to say the head of the lake, or the head of the pond. What did that mean? That meant the source. Where is the water coming from? Where is the life? Where is the oxygen coming from? It's coming from that one source. Dear ones, so it is with the church. It matters not how many or how few we have. It matters not whether the church is full or whether it's almost empty. If we understand that our head is Christ, our origin and our source is Jesus, we can know that even small ponds can be full of life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because of us? No. Not because of us. But because of Him. I said two things. Here's number two. We'll close. I was reading, I am reading a book right now on the importance of having healthy small churches. And it's a wonderful book, and I'm learning a lot from it, and I've got a lot more to learn from it. But I read a statement in the book the other day that I took exception with. As wonderful as the book is, and as wonderful as my learning from it is going to be, the author of this book, who's pastored several small churches, worked in another denomination to try to build up small churches, and he said that he feels one of the most fundamental problems in the small church in America is that they have a poor self-image. Now, there's truth to that. I agree with him on that. But I don't think that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem often with us, I'm pointing to me, is not the image that I have of myself. It's that I don't have a clear enough image of the head, the Lord, the giver of life, the one who breathes life into His church, the one who fills all in all. That power that has been given to the church is available to you today, and it's available to me. If we will come in weakness and brokenness and trust, there is a power above the powers, and it is toward us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we would see our own weakness, but only look there long enough we would lift up our eyes to the risen Christ, the one who is the head, who has been raised above every authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. In His name, in that name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to respond to the Lord today. We're going to sing an old hymn, beautiful old hymn of the church, My Jesus, I Love Thee. The Bible says that we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. So I pray today that you would respond to Him, whatever that response looks like, whether it's there in your pew or here at the altar, whether it's standing, just lifting up your voice and heart. May you And may I avail ourselves today of His power.
Page 172.
Please stand if you're able.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know
make the benediction. I wanted to announce that we will have lunch next Sunday. I forgot to announce that in the bulletin, so we'll have celebration Sunday next Sunday.
If you would please remain standing for the benediction. Now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore.
Amen.
Please turn this off.